board meeting after communion. So, for your information. All right. If you got yourself out of fellowship, it's really easy to do. Really easy. You can rebound. And by the way, you say, well, I can't remember everything I did. Well, you're stuck then. No. Generic rebound works. Forgive us our sins, blah, blah, blah. And they, what did they call the Lord's Prayer? It's actually the model prayer. Jesus never had to rebound. Thank God. And he had every kind of temptation thrown at him you can't even imagine. Imagine living in a world where you're perfect and all these people around you, your immediate family and everything, and day in and day out, you're on top of the plan of God. And I mean, from a youth on up this ladder in this environment where a lot of people are obviously setting bad examples doctrinally and otherwise. And he works his way all the way through it. And no sin was found in him. Not even one little mental attitude sin. And there are people who are trying to provoke him all the time. In his face. Antagonistic. And he didn't succumb to that. He didn't lower himself to that. And that included his final ordeal where they took him and mocked him. Blindfolded him. Spit in his face. That would tick a lot of people off. says, if you're the Messiah, they blindfolded him. If you're the Messiah, who just slapped you? He didn't answer that. That isn't worth answering. That kind of behavior, there's no response to that. You know. And what was one of his biggest temptations? He could tap into his deity. He said it himself. And there, when he's on the cross, they're mocking him. You saved others. Why don't you come down from the cross? But it wasn't the plan of God for him to come down from the cross in that fashion. But he made it clear that he could have called two legions of angels and laid those people all flat. But he didn't come here to wipe people out. He came to give them a second chance. And some of them came around later. Most of them didn't. And they had all the evidence in the world that he was the Messiah. They had a Messiah checklist. So if any joker jumped up and said he was the Messiah, they could immediately say, you don't have the right parentage, buddy. You're a false prophet. And at worst, you're a false Christ. They had he had all the credentials. Everything. From his birth all the way up. Who are your parents? And who are they? Are you linked to David? Oh, yeah. The authorities knew this. The ruling authorities, the religious top brass, they knew this. That's what makes it so bad, isn't it? They knew who he was. They knew he was the coming Son of God, but they wouldn't believe in him and embrace him. This is incredible. Human volition. You can't break through this. Well, just pray for people. Well, yeah, we pray in general that people come to the truth and hear the truth that are out there that might be positive. And then they will. If there's people out there yet to be saved, they're not going to drop through the cracks. Oh, you know, like those stupid little pamphlets they used to put out. You didn't witness to somebody and he died in a car wreck and he went to hell. Oh, come on. Please. That's how sloppy God's plan is. It depends on you and me. Imagine your salvation depends on whether I witnessed to you or not, or just blew you off on that occasion. No. Everybody God foreknew who would believe, given an opportunity, will get the gospel hearing. It may be on their deathbed like the thief on the cross. That's how far he got close to the afterlife when he turned his volition to Jesus Christ. His buddy in crime? Nah. They had the same information, same evidence, and he believed under duress. You're going to believe in this guy's being crucified with you? That is a rebuke to all the rest of these people that refuse to believe when the evidence is right in front of them. God wants people to get saved, but he isn't going to reach in and switch their volition to positive. You are a free moral agent. You make your own decision as to where, how you're going to end up when this game's over. And since you're here and you're believers, then I'm preaching to the so-called choir. But the fact is, you need to understand the principles of how God runs His plan. He foreknew you and I from eternity past. And we were put in His positive book. And we hadn't even come on the scene and believed yet. That's how secure God's plan is. We'll get that in Romans 8. Whom He foreknew. He knows the future and He knows what everybody's thinking. And some of us, we have to go through some real tough stuff before He gets our... We've seen testimonies like that. I had to lose my fortune, had to lose this and that, and then I came around. Nebuchadnezzar, Operation Nebuchadnezzar. What had to happen to his Nebs with all his power and glory and arrogance? Look at the kingdom I have built. And that's when he got struck with boanthropy. A rare mental disorder where you identify with a certain category of mammal. In this case, cows. And what they did with people in the ancient world that went nuts, they didn't put them in a nice little institution. They exiled them out into the tules. They figured the gods were against them and that we don't want around you around us. So they put him out there. And for seven sevens, he was out there. He got to see the witness of Daniel. He got to see all this stuff. See, he got schooled, but he was stubborn. So God broke his will in the sense that he put him out there. But he still had this mind, and he lifted up his eyes to heaven, and he believed, and he was restored to power. And he said, there is a God who puts people in power, and who he chooses to put in power. I learned the lesson. He wrote his own testimony in Daniel chapter 5. He wrote his own testimony. He circulated all over his kingdom, evangelized everybody. And this is a hardcore pagan who built an empire. Well, he's an exception because, you know, not many mighty, not many wise after the flesh are called, because there's something about having these great abilities that causes people to be arrogant. But there are a few. He's one of my prime examples, and the second one is Moses. And this is going to be a rebuke to people of Maranatha Church. He, Moses, turned down the wealth of Egypt. He had, as they say, the world was his oyster. Anything he wanted. Anything. And he was handsome. And he was talented. He wasn't just a spoiled, rich kid. He was an orator. He was a musician. And he was a military leader, and he was a tremendous public orator. But he started adding up the equation. He figured out who he was. I mean, he wasn't an Egyptian. He was brought into the royal nursery and groomed, and all the learning of the Egyptians. And he excelled above all of them. He was the toast of the town. He was a celebrity. He led armies. He knew all this stuff. But he went into the archives and he figured out who those enslaved people were and what their destiny was. And I think I'm going to tie my star to that. Instead of just, you know, being a renowned Egyptian buried in the Valley of the Kings. So, he was looking to the reward. It says it in Hebrews. It's what goes on in the soul that matters, people. What goes on in the soul, that private part of you where you're thinking about, I'm going for the prize. That's what I'm after. And the other stuff might be nice, and if it's here, fine. If it's not, that's fine too. He was looking to the one who was unseen. And he's looking to the reward. And the minute he turned his back on his Egyptian upbringing, Pharaoh's daughter. They turned on him. That was to be expected. They put a price on his head. For any assassin, any killer that wants to take him down and bring his head back, we'll make you so rich it won't even be funny. There are people scrambling all over the place. He walked right out of Egypt after he's aborted failure to deliver the Jews on his own energy of the flesh. You do it God's way, but he was a self-made buy, and everything he did was successful. He said, I figured out if I can get these people, and I'll get them out of here. Oh, come on. But when he saw it all fall, it fell through quicker than he even got off the ground. This thing died in, it died almost immediately, his little plan. And so he walked out of Egypt. Walked all the way across the fake Sinai Peninsula. I mean, there's a real peninsula there, but it's a fake name. He walked all the way across. There were Egyptian forts all over out there. They were scrambling all over. He just walked out. Well, God is protecting him. He has a future for him. Because he knew the promise that God was going to bring. The promise to Abraham. God said to Abraham, hundreds of years before this, your people are going to go down to Egypt, where they'll be imprisoned. And I'm going to bring them up out of there. And I'm going to judge the Egyptians. Because what the Egyptians fooling with is not just persecuting another people. They're persecuting the people that's going to bring the Savior into the world. Like genocide against them. It's always been one of the stories of the Jews. Let's wipe them out. That was before the cross. And it's still been. Yep. So he leaves Egypt. Crosses the Gulf of Aqaba, not the Suez, the Gulf of Aqaba, comes to Saudi Arabia to a well where there's a couple women, sisters, wanting to water their sheep at the end of the day. And some of these other shepherds came up and they wanted to push up to the head of the line. And Moses stood them down. And they backed off. And the girls were real excited, and they go running back to their dad, Jethro, and said, there's an Egyptian out there. See, back in the day, I thought he probably went incognito and put on Bedouin garb and looked like an ordinary, you know. No, I was wrong. He went out of there in his Egyptian threads. And they went running to their father and said, Jethro, there's this, he defended us against these bullies and blah, blah, blah. And Jethro said to his daughters, where's your manners? Invite him in. Jethro was a positive believer and became his father-in-law because he married one of them, Zipporah. And they had a baby right out of the chute. Had a baby. 40 years later, they had their second child. Moses had given up all hope that he was going to lead them. He had no aspirations. He just said, I want to live long enough to see him come up out of there and see what God's going to do. He had the timing factor wrong. Did he not? He had the timing factor wrong. And also, the way God was going to go about it. That he was going to do it single-handedly. Yeah, right. He had the timing factor wrong. And yet God's for him. He knew what was in the man's soul. He knew the caliber of him. So 40 years later, he's out. How'd you like to go from being at the top of the world and everybody, you're the big celebrity, you did all this, rah, 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 and you're out here herding sheep in this backwater wilderness. And all your long days, all you got is these sheep. Yeah, you go home at the end of the day and take your sheep back, and you know, and you have your wife and all. But that's what you have. And one day, he's out there, and there was the ubiquitous desert bushes out there, and one of them was on fire. Well, he's a curious guy. That thing ought to burn up pretty quick, because things can't ignite out there if the right spark and hits with the heat and everything. And so this one bush is just burning, but it won't quit burning. And you know the rest of the story. He walks up there because he's curious. He isn't thinking about God in that sense. And a voice comes to him. And this is the first time he heard a direct communique from God. There's no evidence he ever heard another one. And the communique was, take your shoes off. We'd say sandals. You're standing on holy ground. And he did. And the rest is history. This is just a lesson on you need to recognize what is at stake here. The believer who is in this carnal state is said to be of the following: dead, a slave to the STA, a prisoner of war, which we looked at, mimicking the unbeliever, having an affair with the STA, and deceived by lust. Synonyms for the sin nature. We'll do this rather quickly. You can look up the verses. Sin in the singular, with or without the definite article. It depends on the verse and the context. The Greek word with the definite article. Flesh or fleshly. Mortal body. Now that would place probably more emphasis on the aging gene, which they're trying to solve, by the way. They're working hard at it, trying to figure out why we age. Because if you could extract the day, if you could neutralize the aging gene in a person, and I don't care if the person is 75 years old, like I am almost, they'll go back to being like 35. I mean, health considerations. It can't be a wreck and physically, because people are young, they're physical wrecks with their health. Old man. No, that one's self-explanatory. It has quite a history. Corruptible man, Romans 1:23. Corruptible seed. This refers to the mechanics of transmission, as in 1 Peter 1:23. Body of death. Body of sin. As a spiritual POW, the believer enters evil, which includes... Okay. Now, the prisoner of war status, for a lot of us, we break out of it all the time. We're captured momentarily, we rebound. But some get caught up in it permanently. We call that reversionism. Though the funny word was backsliding. Well, how could you be a Christian and do that? Oh, come on. That's naive. Every Christian, all these Christians in the Bible, lots of them, they committed some big time sins. And I'm talking about good Christians, too. Some of them turned out good, some of them didn't turn out good. Saul was a good believer when God called him to be king. Then he went bad. He's still saved. He's out trying to kill David, pursuing David. David married his daughter. So his father-in-law is trying to kill him. He's got these people out looking for him. He became extremely jealous because God took the prophet Samuel, who really liked Saul, and they were buddies. I had to go to him and say, the kingdom's been taken from you because of a sin you committed. You didn't do the divine command to kill all Amalekites on sight. I want them exterminated from the face of the earth. That was the first people that attacked Israel when they're coming up out of Egypt in their first battle as a people. They fought the Amalekites. There's a name for them in secular history. Hyksos, I think, yes. And they invaded it, but Saul had a chance to kill off some of them, and he didn't do it. He spared them. So he got you're out, but he didn't let it go. And God anointed David when he was just a kid through the prophet Samuel. A young, hardly teenage kid who was out taking care of his parents' sheep. Talk about a lonesome job. You didn't have buddies. You didn't have friends. You didn't have girlfriends. You didn't have nothing. You're out there with the sheep and an occasional predator. And that's why you had a club and you had a sling that you could sling a rock and with unbelievably dead accuracy to protect your sheep. He's brought in because he had six older brothers, I believe. Six. They're all handsome guys. They're in the military, blah, blah, blah. Samuel went to each one. Not that one. Not that one. Not that one. He gets through the sixth one. He goes to the parents. You got any other boys? Oh, yeah, we've got the young one. He's out with the sheep. Get him in here. I love those stories. Get him in here. Brings David in. Here's this young kid, hardly a teenager. He anoints him as king of Israel. What does David do? Get all puffed up and big shot? No, I'm just a kid. I'm not qualified to lead anybody. He went back to the sheep. And God brought him into the lion. See, you don't have to do anything. You just do what you're supposed to be doing, even if your job is mundane and isn't glamorous and all the rest of it. But an incident occurred. The Goliath incident. No big, strong Israelite was willing to go out and face this 9-foot tall hulk of a person. David was there. David steps forward. Well, you can imagine. I saw the hill where the encampment was. There's a hospital there now. The hill on which the Philistine army was watching this. See, one of the ways they settled battles in the ancient world, what was that movie that was featuring that Achilles and everything, where they take out, you take one, you're the man you're going to present, we put ours, and whoever wins, then we win the war. And only one person dies. So, of course, they send out a non-Philistine, Goliath the giant. And it describes the size of his armor and everything. And so David, he's incensed because there's not one person in Israel that's got enough faith that God could bless him to take that clown down. So David steps up. Somebody says, well, you'll need a sword. And I don't know how to use those things yet. So no, I'm not taking a weapon I'm not familiar with. I've got my sling. He walks out there. And you can imagine Goliath. just carrying on. Well, that's the last thing he found. Because David picked up. I walked down to the riverbed. Oh, I'm not supposed to talk about my vacation to Israel. Tough. I walked down to the riverbed. It's all dry now. And I got out of my car. And it wasn't a tourist site. Nothing. It's just places you didn't know. And I walked from my car down the road. I walked into that little gully. I could see the landscape down there. Because I read it in Farmer's Guide to Israel. He said these are sites that don't have any tourist tags on it. But based on the description in the book, in the books of Samuel and so forth, this is right where it's at. So that was a Sunday. And I drove from my hotel, at Mount Zion Hotel. Brenda and I, we drove out there. And I got out of the car and I walked down the hill and walked to that. I just wanted to be in that spot. And David picked up 5 appropriate stones. Why 5? It's the number of grace. That's my take. Like 7's perfection, 6 is sin, 666. But it only took one stone. I saw a thing on TV where these guys, they were in Spain, and they were sling shooters. And they would stand back and be targets, like way out there. And they'd sling. Those things were like rockets, and they'd hit that thing, bam! So those armies that had sling throwers, that wasn't just some little rocks. It was the force, well, it drilled the clown right between the eyes. David walked over, grabbed him by his long hair, took his sword and chopped his head off and held it up like that. Don't you love the Bible? Isn't the Bible great? Everybody goes home. That's David's introduction into what would be his career as a military type. Oh, and he made his mistakes, but he never did idolatry, and I have any record of, and he never violated these kind of commands with regard to what God wanted him to do on the battlefield. So when he got into Saul's army, he started having success with the men that were under him, and they had a popular song in Israel. Saul's killed his thousands. David's killed his 10,000s. David and his men. Well, Saul just went jealous city. And that's when he drove him into exile, and he was a hunted man all those years up until Saul died, descended to death at the hands of the Philistines and his son Jonathan. And then David united, or under God, he united all the tribes of Israel into one nation. And the rest is history. That's his SG2, his blessing in time. And Jesus Christ is the Son of David. And he's going to set a record at the second advent for killing idiots. The armies that are going to come into the Middle East, he says, I'm going to gather all these nations and I'm going to bring them into this valley of decision, and he's going to slaughter them single-handedly in the middle. All the kings of the East, that's China, that's India, that's all these nations that build up at the end that are hostile and are trying their last stand to try to keep the world their way. And that Armageddon plane is going to be chock full of people. And Jesus Christ is going to go down there and he is going to let out a war cry. And these people's flesh will melt on their faces. And their eyes and their eye sockets before they even hit the ground. And the blood will run to the horse's bridle. And you and I are going to be there, and we're going to have a front row seat. Oh, I don't want to see that. Oh, yeah, you will then. You will then. These people had 7 years of evangelism. All the nations will be evangelized in their own language, everywhere, every place they are, by an angel. So you're without excuse. You're stepping into this trip. For those of us, those that are left behind, they will get their chance. But those who harden their hearts and go for it, they'll go to the meat grinder. It's always the way it is. As a spiritual POW, the believer enters evil, which includes sins of all kinds. There's a list. We have these sin lists in the Bible, and of course, no one of them can be complete with every sin, but it's a cross-section of the type of sins. And why would you write to believers about sins if they aren't capable of committing them? Can you imagine somebody saying, oh, I reached sinless perfection. Oh, please. I'll bet I can get you to commit a sin real quick. I shouldn't do that, but I could. Galatians 5:16. Walk by the Spirit and you'll not carry out the desire of the flesh. Now 19, the deeds of the flesh are obvious, evident, which are immorality. That's sexual immorality, which is rampant in our civilization. I mean rampant. We're like trying to outdo Sodom and Gomorrah. And there's another verse that says, and that's another one of the reasons, the wrath of God's coming over the nations. Sexual immorality. Massive pornography. All over the place. And child abuse. Child trafficking. That's being covered up by the higher ups because they're into it. Impurity, sensuality. You see it in music a lot, some songs. Idolatry, sorcery, that's the occult. Enmities, hostilities. Strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, etc. Envying, drunkenness, carousing, hell raising, and things like these, of which I forewarn you. The people who practice these things, they do not inherit the kingdom of God. So if you want to run into your ST in one of these areas and stick with it, you're going to kill your SG3. Can't kill your salvation. All right, I'll stop here. Almost forgot. We got the Lord's table. Will everybody get in place and we'll fulfill this commandment.